It's already been mentioned. On Thursday, we celebrate the Feast of the Ascension when Jesus ascended into heaven. And it's the beginning of 10 days of prayer called Thy Kingdom Come. And this season runs from Thursday through to the Feast of Pentecost. Now, there are a number of good things in today's Gospel, but one of the verses that stands out for me is chapter 15, verse 16, when Jesus said, I chose you, I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit. Now, there are some bottom line expressions in the Christian life, and remaining in the love of Jesus and being fruitful is one of them. Prayer and fruitfulness go together. Two events happened recently that raised this question of fruitfulness for me, of fruit that abides. The first was some things the Archbishop of Canterbury said, and in particular about the effect of this particular verse upon his life. And he said that when he became a Christian, the person who led him to Christ and gave him a Bible wrote this verse in the front of the Bible. And the second thing that happened that was important for him was that when he was installed as Archbishop of Canterbury, the Gospels that came across from Italy with St. Augustine in 597 were opened to the page which had the verse, I chose you, I appointed you to produce lasting fruit. And so it was a very important verse for him and continues to be. So let's listen to him telling his own story and about what happened.
I'm back in Cambridge, back to the days where, obviously I worked very hard, but I did spend a lot of time on the river, rowing.
I last proxed about 40 years ago. If you believe in prayer, I suggest you say one now.
Are you ready? Go!
Nick Hills and I were students together at Cambridge, and we recently met to visit the college we were both at. And take a tour.
Hi, Nick.
Hello, Justin.
Very nice to see you after so long.
We headed over to Nick's room in one year when he was at the college. A transforming moment happened. A life-changing moment.
May I do it?
Yes,
here we go. Why don't you lead the way?
All right.
Because you used to live here.
Thank you very much for letting us disturb you. You're very kind.
We came back here, I think, about 10-ish.
On October the 12th, 1975, just before midnight, that having spent time talking and sharing, speaking together, and I realised that I was at a point of decision about life, and my life was going to go one of two ways. And I prayed a very simple prayer, saying, Lord Jesus, come into my life. I don't know anything about you, but come into my life. And he came in, something changed, and has stayed changed from then on, with all the ups and downs and me trying to run away and good times in my life and really bad ones. And that started with you just as another undergraduate, very simply encouraging me to look at who Jesus was. I just can't imagine how different my life would have been. That's the extraordinary thing. Well, the next morning you gave me this Bible. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. So that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Cambridge, 1975. That was the verse that was the page that was open when I became Archbishop of Canterbury, when I was installed at Canterbury Cathedral in the St. Augustine copy of the Gospels that St. Augustine brought with him in 597. They said, do you want it open anywhere in particular? I said, yes, John 15:16. From that moment. Isn't that extraordinary?
That's terrific.
It's a beautiful Bible. I've used it for years and years.
Yes, I
years.
Exactly like it, and I use it also day by day.
When I think through my journey of faith, Nick wasn't the only person involved. In fact, far from it. I later learned that there was a particular person who'd prayed for me every week since he knew that I was on the way, since I was conceived, that I might become a follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ. I can't tell you how grateful I am to them. What an extraordinary, faithful and loving gift that was. But that's a gift that we can all afford. It's not a gift that any of us is unable to give. Who could you give that gift to? I'm inviting you to join me in praying for particular people, family, friends, working colleagues, whoever it happens to be, during the 10 days that we call Thy Kingdom Come.
The second event that raised this question of fruitfulness was the death of the evangelist Billy Graham at the age of 99. And Billy Graham had the gift, the opportunity and the privilege of preaching the Christian gospel to 250 million people in live audiences over 185 different countries. Absolutely extraordinary. And Billy Graham has been credited with preaching to more individuals than anyone else in history. And this doesn't even include the additional millions that he's addressed on the radio, through television, and through his books. Billy Graham was a phenomenon of the 20th century. And God did absolutely amazing things through this man's ministry. And millions of people came to faith in Jesus Christ. Billy Graham first visited New Zealand in 1959. I didn't personally meet Billy Graham, but I did hear him preach. And it was here in Wellington at Athletic Park on Sunday afternoon, the 5th of April, 1959. Let me tell you how I got there. One of the clergy in my hometown, Whanganui, was the Reverend Cecil Marshall. And Cecil was a 33-year-old vicar of St. Barnabas, Dury Hill. He was a keen evangelical, and because of his young age and enthusiastic personality, he attracted a number of teenagers to his ministry, and I was one of those. And for the 1959 crusade, Cecil was the chair of the local Billy Graham organising committee in Whanganui, and they organised meetings in the Opera House. Now, in preparation for the crusades, a number of things happened, one of which was what they called the training of counsellors. And these were people that were trained how to lead people to faith in Christ. So that at the end of each meeting, when people responded to Billy Graham's invitation and came forward, a counsellor would speak with them and pray with them. They'd give them a booklet, a pack of key verses from the Bible that they could memorise, and then their names were forwarded to their local churches. Well, Cecil encouraged me to be a part of this team of counsellors, and I'm very glad he did, because it was a very valuable training, and the experience has lasted me for many years. Now, while the meetings were held in Auckland, Wellington and Christchurch, the evening messages were relayed by landline, which you have to understand through these toll lines was the very latest technology at that time. They'd never heard of anything like FaceTime or anything else that we have now. But anyway, so people would come into these halls all over the country and they would hear Billy Graham preaching through this landline, through the loudspeakers that were in the auditoriums. And while associate evangelists began crusades in each of the cities, Billy Graham would end up preaching at the last two sessions at each of them. In 1959, a total of 355,000 people attended the crusades in New Zealand, and almost 16,000 inquirers came forward to invite Jesus Christ into their lives. It was an amazing time. Well now, how did I get down to Wellington? Well, in Whanganui we chartered a bus to take a group of young people to Wellington for that Sunday afternoon, and we left St. Peter's Gonville after the 8 o'clock service. And I encouraged many of my friends to come. And one of those was Barry Kissel. Now, while Barry's home was in Marton, where his father was the headmaster of a school, he'd lived in Whanganui during the week, and he worked for Dalgetty's, a stock and station agent firm. Barry loved rugby. Barry loved a good time. And it took considerable prayer and some persuading for Barry to come to Wellington on the bus with us that day. But he did, and I'm glad he did. I will never forget sitting in the stand at Athletic Park, surrounded by thousands of people And seeing this mass choir of 1,700 Wellingtonians on the stage as a choir and a special Maori group of 200 that sang, and the Salvation Army bands were out in force, it was just an amazing experience. The Prime Minister of the day, Walter Nash, joined the crowd that afternoon too. And Mr. Nash was a parishioner and lay reader at St. James Lower Hutt. I've never been in such a large gathering, and it was electric. So after the singing, Billy Graham spoke, and he took on as his subject, God So Loved the World, based, of course, on John 3:16. And today his message seems surprisingly direct and blunt almost. I mean, one of the things that he said, for example, was he said, thousands of you here are dead. Walking dead men and dead women. You look alive, but down in your heart, you're spiritually dead. Well, of course, he was right. And then he told them how to receive Jesus Christ and to receive God's life in their hearts and lives. And thousands responded to the message and went forward as the choir sang the hymn, Just As I Am. Well, remember, beside me was my friend Barry Kissel. And Barry actually, I'm glad to say, seemed to be paying pretty reasonable attention to the message as it progressed, until it came to this point. And then Barry said, I want to go forward. And so together, we moved on down to the front of the field in front of Billy Graham. And it was there that I led Barry to faith in Jesus Christ. He was, in fact, the very first person that I ever led to Christ. And that beginning had amazing repercussions. It was the answer to prayer and was very fruitful. Because later that year, Barry decided to go for a trip to England. I'm not sure I should tell you this really, but I will. He wanted me to go with him. And I said to him, I haven't got the money for a trip to England. And he said, sell your father's car. Well, I didn't sell my father's car, and I didn't go to England at that time. It was much later. Anyway, Barry went to England. And it was there that he felt a call to ministry. He met his wife, Mary, and he went to theological college. He was ordained in the Church of England, and he became a curate at a parish called St. Andrew's in Chorley Wood. And the parish recognised that Barry's gifting was that of an evangelist, and they encouraged him. And so his ministry grew and broadened and developed, so that in fact he was leading his own missions and meetings all over England, and in fact in other countries as well. Barry and I have kept in touch over the years, and on learning of the death of Billy Graham, I wrote to him and recalled our Athletic Park experience, and this is what he wrote back to me. He said, it was at 3 o'clock on the 5th of April 1959 that I gave my life to Jesus. To commemorate that occasion, you gave me a Bible with the date written in it. Never would I have dreamt that my commitment that day would take me to 41 different countries with the gospel. Thank you for the part you played in those early years. 41 countries, thousands of people have responded to the gospel preached by Barry, and it all began with that simple decision which led to a life of fruitfulness. So, does prayer work? Yes, it does. And loving and serving Jesus, prayer and fruitfulness all go together. So, coming back to our gospel reading, this is what Jesus says. You are my friends if you do what I command. You are my friends since I've told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit. And this is what God wants and what the Holy Spirit does. God calls us to know and to follow Jesus, and the Holy Spirit empowers us to be fruitful. And so saying yes to Jesus is always the first step towards a life that is purposeful and fulfilling. And it is this Jesus that calls us now to a new journey or a fresh journey over these 10 days of prayer and fruitfulness, a life in which we pray for others. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus, for his life, his death, his resurrection. We thank you that he is the good news, the gospel. And we thank you that as his name and his life is proclaimed, he draws people to himself, and their new life begins with that. So thank you for the thousands that you have drawn through many servants, and grant too that as we pray now, you will bring people into your kingdom. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.